Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Good morning, LAT. It's an honor to be standing before you again. I count this a privilege and an opportunity not to be wasted. Dear Holy Spirit, I ask you for the power to communicate and also the power to assimilate in the name of Jesus. Now, can you turn to your neighbor and say something good is going to happen to you? Yes. Glory to God. For our first-time visitors who may not know my name, I'm Hilary Turiagenda, also known as Doc Hill. And today, by the anointing, by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to minister to you on a subject that the Lord has placed on my heart, and that is walking with God. Hallelujah. And when we talk about this, I'm drawn to four things. Number one is walking by faith. How do we walk with God? Well, the supreme example of walking with God is given to us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, about a man we were first told about in Genesis 5, verse 21 to 24. We're told about this man called Enoch, and we're told that Enoch lived for 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And then after he begot Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years. Hallelujah. And then he begot sons and daughters. And then Enoch was translated, the Bible says. Therefore, the time he lived on earth was 365 years. Glory to Jesus. Now, this Enoch, whom we are told walked with God and was translated so that he wasn't found, in other words, he was taken away, we are told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, that Enoch, by faith, Enoch was translated so that he should not see death, and he was not found. But before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, verse 6 tells us, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we are told Enoch walked with God in Genesis 5:21-24, and here in chapter 11 of Hebrews we are being told how he did it. We are being told that he did it by faith, and we're being told how that faith was, because by faith he was translated so that he should not see death, and he was not found. But before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, how Enoch did it was by faith. But faith how? Or faith in which way? Or faith in what sense? Faith in the sense that he believed that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Glory to God. Now, that's what his faith entailed. And that's very interesting. There's a good bit of poetry there, because you notice that Enoch believed that God is. Now, we know that the significance of that is from the fact that God actually is invisible. So, for us to be told he believed God is significant, because we know God is invisible. Nobody would need to tell you that the earth exists, because it is visible. You can see it. There's not much significance to that statement, to say that the sun exists, because you can physically see it. But having to believe that God is signified an ability to look beyond what can be seen with the eyes. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, that we walk by faith and not by sight. That springs from the fact that this God that we are walking with is first and foremost invisible. you can't see him with your physical eyes. So to walk with him, you must be having an awareness of him that is beyond what the eyes are affording you, what you are afforded by your physical senses. Hallelujah. And that is the faith point there, that Enoch walked with God, and he had this testimony in his walk with God that he pleased God in the fact or in the sense that he believed God is, and that secondly, he believed God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Now, this is very important. He believed that he is, and that is given to us a few verses back in verse 1. Hebrews 11, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." See, there are two aspects there. Things hoped for and then things not seen. Things hoped for and things not seen. Things hoped for constitute desires and aspirations. Hence, the believing that God is a rewarder, and then things not seen constitute existence, the existence of that rewarder that we are talking about. He believed God is, and then he believed he's a rewarder. In other words, he had evidence of things not seen, and then he had substance of things hoped for. Glory to Jesus. Now, that is very important, because it's going to show you something amazing here, which actually comes in verse 2 and says, "For by faith the elders obtained a good report." And then it goes on in this whole chapter to break down for us how people walked by faith, or essentially walked with God, with Enoch as one of the principal examples. Begins by telling us about Abel and how Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. And then comes now to Enoch, who was translated so that he should not see death and was not found, but because God had taken him. But before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. That is the walk with God. That is the first and essential thing in walking with God. Belief. Belief. Hallelujah. Believing. Walking by faith, walking with God by walking by faith. Belief. Belief in what? Belief in his existence, and secondly, belief in his goodness. That's what rewarding is about. Somebody who rewards is a good person, or rather, someone who is a good person rewards. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, actually, these are not two things. It's one and the same thing. You'll notice that seeking him in the light of knowing he exists entails seeking rewards. You see that? That by seeking rewards, people are actually seeking him. That's what the scripture is saying. That's what then clues you into what Hebrews is talking about. Glory to Jesus. Because now you'll find Hebrews, when you read it, the rest of Hebrews 11, I mean, is talking about people's day-to-day lives. It's talking about how Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and though her womb was dead, she brought forth a child by faith. Abraham, you know, left where he was told to live and to go to a place where he had been told that he would be shown the place, and he went out by faith. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he had great respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, so and so did this, so and so did that. But when you look at what is going on there, it's actually day-to-day life issues. and then it culminates in verse 32 of that chapter, telling us that, "And what more shall I say, for time would fail me to speak of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and the prophets who by faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, glory to Jesus, out of weakness, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, refusing deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, others received trial of cruel mockings, glory to God, and scourgings, praise the name of Jesus. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sown asunder. Glory to Jesus. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins, being naked and destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, what I wanted to point out was the fact that these people who are talked about in Hebrews 11, culminating in his summary, in the writer's summary, about how essentially what they did was subduing kingdoms, working righteousness, obtaining promises, stopping the mouths of lions, quenching the violence of fire, escaping the edge of the sword, out of weakness being made strong, waxing valiant in fight, turning to flight the armies of aliens, women receiving their dead raised to life again, and others tortured, not accepting deliverance, and so on. This all was actually a faith walk, which was a walk with God. But you'll notice that it consisted in just day-to-day life, turned into a means of belief in God, and belief in God to the extent of believing in his rewards, believing in his goodness. Praise the name of Jesus. You'll notice that in the different circumstances they were faced with, they used the opportunity to believe in God or God's intervention, and thereby seeking him through seeking the meeting of the need. As I normally point out to people, the scriptures show us that through the interventions of God, we get to encounter God. For example, in Philippians chapter 4, there's a clear example where the Bible tells us that do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It says, whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, I think about these things. It talks about pure, good, of good report, and so on and so forth. And then he comes and says that the things that you've had me tell you, keep them to heart, put them into practice. And then he says, and the God of peace will be with you. You'll notice that it starts by telling us about the peace of God, and then tells us that peace of God is going to encounter us to the God of peace. Or it's going to encounter us with the God of peace. That through the thing God does, you will experience the God of that thing. Hallelujah. And that same principle is demonstrated in the experience of Abraham giving his son Isaac on the mountain, and then the Lord getting to tell him that, oh, now don't kill your son. Here is a lamb. He's given a lamb in place of his son. And then the Bible tells us that there Abraham calls him Jehovah Jireh, or Jehovah who provides, or in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen, because provision means seeing ahead and making provision, or rather seeing ahead and seeing to it, seeing what's coming, the need that's coming, and seeing to it. That's what provision is. No wonder there's provide, pro and video, which is seeing, pro-seeing before. Pro is before, video is to see. So pro-video or provide or pro-video is to see before and see to eat, or to see to eat before. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, you see that. How did Abraham encounter the Jehovah who sees to eat? Glory to God. He encountered the Jehovah who sees to eat by God seeing to eat. By encountering God seeing to eat, or seeing to the need, providing, he was encountering the provider. You encounter the God who is the provider, or the God of provision, through the provision of God. You encounter the God of peace through the peace of God. Remember Philippians 4, 6 and 7 compared to Philippians 4, 9. 4, 6 and 7, and then verse 9, which talks about the God of peace. Hallelujah. Coming through the peace of God. And then Abraham encounters the God of provision through the provision of God. And then we also know in Exodus 15 that, you know, when the Israelites were complaining about bitter water, and then God told Moses to break a branch of a tree and throw it in the waters, and the waters would be healed. They are going to be healed. And then he told him, when you do this, the waters will be healed, because, verse 26, Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. So you notice he's doing an act of healing, so that through the act of healing, they may encounter the I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Encountering the healing of God, to encounter the God of healing, or encountering the God of healing through the healing of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, I wanted to use that to illustrate to you why what is being said in Hebrews is significant. Hebrews is giving us a listing of lives of people, everyday lives of people, in which by turning their situations into an opportunity for an intervention of God, they got to encounter the God of those interventions. And the God of those interventions that they encountered, therefore, was a God they got to walk with. Hallelujah. So whether it was a woman believing God for power to conceive, whether it was someone believing God to subdue a kingdom, whether it was someone believing God to do all those things, became an opportunity to see that God is, and to see that is a rewarder. In other words, you have a situation. This is a situation in which you have an opportunity to find out if God is. In other words, if God exists. And then it is also an opportunity to find out whether if he exists, he is good. You see that. And actually the two things are intertwined. Believing that he is, and that is a reward of them that diligently seek him, they are intertwined. You know, there's a man of God who was telling me one time that he read something somewhere that many people believe that there can't be a God. But if there is a God, he must be the devil. You see, because they see the situations around them, and the situations around them are so bad, so they've resigned themselves to believing that there can't be a God. But if there is a God, he must be the devil. But now that's the opposite of what we must believe. We must believe that he is, and our believing that he is must have an ulterior motive of, if he is, he must be good. Not the other way around, that if God is there, he must be the devil. Because everything is going wrong. Hallelujah. No. We have an opportunity to turn situations into situations in which God can be seen to be, and can also be seen to be good, to be a rewarder. Now, that's what I was emphasizing, that we must get away from the idea that that what matters is him, not what he does. That seek the giver and not the gifts. Actually, we cannot achieve that fully. You can't totally seek God without seeking his gifts, or you can't seek the giver without seeking the gifts. The two are intertwined. Believing that he is is intertwined with believing that he's a rewarder. Believing that he's a rewarder. That's what these people had to believe. And in believing that, they got an encounter with the God of those interventions. That is what I wanted to point out. Now, the Bible shows us in Romans 4, the same thing about Abraham. Romans 4:12 tells us that Abraham was made the father, not of just the circumcision only, but also of the uncircumcision, to us who walk in the same steps of faith which Abraham had while he was yet uncircumcised. Romans 4:12 says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. We walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Hallelujah. This is the Abraham who was told to leave where he was and go to a place that the Lord would show him. By faith he went, glory to God, just like Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and by faith he went, and all these situations. But you see, the point in all this is that, glory to God, we are to walk in the steps of faith that Abraham, our father, walked in. And as you continue reading in Romans 4, that was Romans 4:12, you will come to verse 17 where it tells us, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Glory to God. You see how believing in the God who is not in this physical world, as though he is, because he actually is, though in another world, hallelujah, glory to God, in an invisible world, yet he's present in this world, glory to God, believing that he is, hallelujah, though you can't see him, though he is not material in this world, leads you to actually believing in the things of God. When you believe in God, you end up believing in the things of God, calling those things of that God who is, though you can't see him here, calling them as though they were, calling the things that be not as though they were, those interventions of God that be not as though they were, become a manifestation of that God who is not as though he is, whom you believe that though he is not, he is. Though he is not, he is. No wonder Enoch, by believing that for very long, he himself stopped being. He was no longer found. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. He was translated so that he should not see death, and was not found because God took him. The God, hallelujah, you call him existing, you call him existing, hallelujah. You call those things that be not as though they were. And that starts with calling God who is not as though he is, who is not here in the physical world. He is not, but you call him as if he is. And when you call him as if he is, you're led to calling the things of God, the things he does, as though they are. The things he does which are not, you call them as though they are. And they become. And when those things become, indirectly, or even we can say directly, you have caused the one who is behind those things, who is not, to be as if he is. And for you, that God will be as if he is. He will be manifest unto you. You see, Jesus talked about how he would manifest himself to his disciples. And they said, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us? And he told them that if a man love me, he will do my sayings. And if a man love me and does my sayings, I and my Father will come and make our abode with him. Notice, walking with God, we shall come and make our abode with him. We will walk with him, and the number one way is by faith. We walk with God by faith. Now, if I haven't said it enough, let me say it at least through the example of Enoch, that this Enoch, who was a supreme example of walking by faith, notice that in this Enoch, who was a supreme example of walking by faith, you find that he begot children. Hallelujah. He had Methuselah, and then the Bible tells us he even had other sons and daughters. Now, you would think that Enoch walked with God. In fact, one man of God said that in the time Enoch lived, or at least part of the time, Adam must have still been alive. Glory to God. Remember, the Adam who lived 900 something years was still alive by the time Enoch was on earth. Glory to God. And so Enoch must have learnt certain things from Adam, you know, how it was in the Garden of Eden. And I believe he continued walking with God in a measure, even after he left the Garden of Eden, though not on the same level. But, amen, hallelujah, he must have had contact with his great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. And Adam taught him some things about walking with God. No wonder he walked with God as well as he did. But this is my point. This man walked with God. You would think he would have no time for earthly life. That how he walked with God was that he was always praying. He was always, you know, in the closet and so on. And you see, this is true. But sometimes we get a lopsided perception from that. We get the feeling, people get the thinking that means that walking with God, or that's what walking with God means. It means having no contact with the world, having nothing to do with day-to-day life. But when you read Hebrews 11, you do not see that. You see people living day-to-day life. In fact, you see them walking with God in those day-to-day life issues. That in the issue, which is like a need of a child, a need of a home, you know, Abraham needs a home, or an escape, like for Moses, who needs refuge or something, or people needing deliverance, different things, escaping the edge of the sword, people dwelling in deserts, dens, and caves of the earth. These different day-to-day life things that they're living are the settings in which the walk with God is happening. So I'm showing you that Enoch, who walked with God, the supreme example, Enoch, okay, next to Adam, glory to Jesus, the supreme example of walking with God, we are seeing that he has a family. Even Adam had a wife and children. He had a family life. So for you who has a family out there and you're stuck with, you know, diapers and bottles, milk bottles and so on and so forth, and you think, oh, when will I ever have time to walk with God? My dear, that is where the walk with God is supposed to be happening. And I'm not saying that diapers are a walk with God. No, I am saying that they are the setting in which the walk with God can happen. God walks with you in your situations. And how? Believe God is in your situation, and then believe he's a rewarder in your situation. Those interventions of God are going to be encounters with God. The peace of God encountering you with the God of peace. The provision of God encountering you with the God of provision. The healing of God encountering you with the God of healing. And the feeling of your milk bottles, you asking God for, like, ladies have a problem of breast milk. Sometimes they don't get breast milk when they need it, when they have just had delivery, they have a newborn. Through you asking God for breast milk, you'll get to encounter the God of breast milk. You know, he's called the many-breasted one. Hallelujah. That's what El Shaddai means, the many-breasted one. Now, I do think the many-breasted one has an idea of how you can get some breast milk. Glory to God. And in that way, you will encounter the many-breasted one. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Oh, this is stirring. Hallelujah. And then in other things. So, I must end it here. Remember to walk with God. Hallelujah. In the situations of your life, in family life, in rentals, you have rentals, you have these different things. You can walk with God in those situations. Now, I'll end it here and pick up next Sunday. And as I sign off, remind you to tune in at 6:30 p.m. on 98.4, that is Impact FM, for the program by our Pastor Moses called The Words of Moses, and you will be blessed.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.